Cops is on stage, cops is on stage. You mustn't make me laugh, cause there'll be cops is on stage. Cops is on stage, cops is on stage. You shouldn't make me laugh, cause there'll be cops is on stage.
Exit pursued by a bear.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Corpses on Stage. Lovely to be here. I'm Matt.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Matty.
And today, we're joined by the lovely Sarah Roberts.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, it's lovely to have Sarah here, because Sarah is another member of our society we've been involved with, but has moved on to Pastures New, sort of.
Sort of, although I'm still sort of clinging on with my fingernails to try and be involved in GMS still.
You've separated by distance,
yeah,
but still managed to sort of somehow be involved.
Yeah, loads of people have asked me whether I've done anything down in Devon yet, and the answer is always, well, it just isn't the same when it's not your society.
I don't know.
Did you experience that, Matt, when you moved down from where you were before?
Initially, yes. Mm. But I think the urge to actually do something was just so great that I just thought, I'm going to just join a new society. Mm. It was weird to start off with, really kind of strange, probably for the first sort of couple of months. It was like everyone was like, who's this big brummy? And yeah, it was then I think you reach a certain point and you start chatting with everybody. And yeah, it was quite fun. And it's been great ever since.
Sarah, I mean, I would introduce you properly, I suppose. We said your name, but you had many roles.
Give me my full distinguished title, please.
List of things that you've done. Well, obviously, you're a dancer.
Yes, I was a dancer. Then I was Carol Applegate's dance captain for Strobe Productions. I've done lots of GNS shows. I've been choreographer, producer, chairman, committee member.
Wow.
All the above, really.
Yeah, so I would say you were quite an important member of society for quite a while, weren't you, really? And got a lot of things moving, a lot of things going. I mean, we've always talked a lot about pantomime. We had a whole long chat about that last week, but you were instrumental in getting that panto going at the time, weren't you?
I was. It did feel like I was a little bit of a lone wolf for a while there. But yes, we eventually managed to get a really good panto going with Glastonbury and Street. Ultimately, I suppose I was the one that drove it to start with.
Wow. Yeah,
very, very you're very determined, aren't you?
I really didn't know that.
Yeah. I was just going to carry on with what we were saying with Matt. I mean, so have you actually been to any new societies since you...
No, I haven't. Yeah. Because I don't feel like I live too far away. I've done Copacabana since living here. And of course, I'm also choreographer for Pinstripe in Bridgewater. So I've carried on doing their shows. And then I also did one for Bridgewater Operatic as well.
For people who aren't familiar with where we are, we're based in Somerset, Mendip in Somerset.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're about an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
And Bridgewater is somewhere in between.
Yeah. So rather than join a new society, I've just made the decision sometimes to drive up to rehearsals and carry on doing shows in Somerset with people I know.
That's hard going at that distance though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't put me off because I love the theatre and I love Glastonbury and Street. I mean, we are very lucky down here because my local theatre now is the Princess Theatre in Torquay.
Oh, wow.
Which is a beautiful seafront theatre. Mm. So if I were to join a society, that would be where I performed now. But it's just that getting over that initial hurdle, like you say, Matt, of walking into a room, not knowing anyone and having to introduce yourself and trying to get into the new society. Really, I'm not very good at that.
I think we've all been there, haven't we? And actually, again, when I first joined, you were one of the first people that really spoke to me.
Because was I chair when you joined, or was I just committee member when you joined?
No, you weren't. Or just maybe your first year in chair, maybe the next year. I can't remember. I wasn't quite sure at the time. But yeah, definitely I remember you, because my first show was Beauty and the Beast. And I remember you coming over to me and say, oh, come speak with us lot. And, you know, because, yeah, it's that horrible thing of a new room of people, not knowing people. And as much as we want to be friendly with people, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to break out of those groups and welcome new people. You don't know what they're going to be like. I mean, we've got a great story about when we went to the radio station. Was it us three that went to the radio station, Matty?
Well, we went to
promote a pantomime. We went to a radio station. There's a guy there who said, "Oh yes, I once came along to your."
Oh yes, I remember that very well.
God, no, I don't know this story.
Oh wow,
well, the three of us went to promote one of the pantos, Jack and the Beanstalk, or something like that. And this guy who was there just welcomed us and said, "Oh, I came along one year to audition." And but he said, but they weren't a very friendly bunch.
You know, I've heard that been said about Glastonbury and Street before, and obviously it hasn't been my experience of it at all.
Not true at all, no.
I don't think it's particularly true. I think that it's really difficult to walk into a society, and if you walk in as a new person and you've got your guard up because you're worried about doing it, then maybe your experience of walking into that society is going to differ. But I naturally feel
no one likes you, don't you?
Well, yeah, I feel like we are quite a welcoming bunch, especially the committee members whose job it is to welcome new people. I feel like they do a really good job at that.
I think they do, but I think it's probably the same.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, I came straight in from another country and never done shows or anything for ages, and I thought the reason that I wanted to join in was because everyone was so nice.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of rugby tackled you outside. I'm like, are you auditioning? Right, in.
Yes, yeah, you actually did as well, yeah.
Happened with plenty of people before.
It's individual experiences. I mean, it's show to show, it changes depending on who's directing or who's in it or who's auditioning. You know, all sorts of bits and pieces can affect these things. What you're like as a person, because I'm terrible at going up to other people and introducing myself. You know, that's the last thing I want to do. Is that? I mean, it took me a couple of years when I moved to Somerset to go and do anything because, as much as I love being on stage in front of hundreds of people, I don't like going into a small room and.
I mean, you three also have the massive advantage of just being men. So as soon as men walk in a room at Amdram, everyone's like, "Oh, men! You can be in our society."
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
really we always need more of you.
Yeah, except all the other men start to scale. Oh no! Yeah,
that's true.
You walk in a room as a random extra dancer, and nobody bats an eyelid.
It's strange. It's true though, because I think when I walked in, actually, the one thing I was saying was, "Oh, and he's a man."
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yes, I'm a man. I mean, yeah.
Do it so well.
Yes, so I scream masculinity.
Onto a bit of dance, Sarah. So obviously you grew up doing a lot of dance, didn't you?
I did.
Tell us some of your experiences dancing as a child.
So I've got a little prop with me here because I thought you were going to ask me a question like this. So this is a book that my mum wrote. She wrote me a diary when I was a baby from my perspective. I found this earlier because I knew she'd written something that I wanted to share with you. And she's written, so this is on April the 1st, 1985, when I would have been about just over 11 months old. Wow. My mum has written, "Mummy says I'm going to be a chatterbox because I started gabbling on in a language all of my own and blah, 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 blah." And then she also says, "I'm going to be a dancer, as every time some music plays on the TV, I bounce up and down on my bottom and clap my hands." So even at 11 months old, I was dancing, apparently. So when I think I was about four, my mum took me and my best friend to ballet lessons. I went to Anne Milton's School of Ballet in Cossington in Somerset, and I danced ballet for years. And I'm not particularly tall, and so I wasn't your natural ballet dancer.
Okay.
So instead, at about the age of probably 12 or 13, I started training in ballroom and Latin. And by the age of 16, 17, I had competed in ballroom and Latin, but I'd also trained to teach dance. So I'd trained as a ballroom and Latin. And what else did I do? I did country and Western. I did hip hop randomly, because it's something that you could do a teaching award in. So I suddenly had all these teaching awards in dance. And I paid my way through university by coaching the university dance team in Plymouth as well. So dance has definitely followed me through my whole life, right from a very, very young age.
Definitely, and a very good dancer. Yeah, I mean, we're very lucky in our society because we've always had very talented people being choreographers for us, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've worked for quite a few.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You yourself being one of them, Sarah, and we've always, I've always been very fortunate to have that support and that direction. I mean, on the other side of it, though, I mean, God knows what we're like to work with.
I can't imagine that we're terribly easy to work with. But I have to say, I completely agree with you. I mean, I've never been in a society that's had choreographers that are so talented.
Cops is on stage.
So today's podcast is sponsored by Little Orchard Bed and Breakfast in Glastonbury. Have you ever been there, Matt?
I have. It's beautiful. It sits just below Glastonbury Tor with breathtaking panoramic views overlooking the Vale of Avalon.
And they've got a range of rooms there, I hear. Is that right?
They have. They've got king, twin rooms, double rooms as well, all with either ensuite or access to private bathrooms.
Now, I've actually been there for breakfast. I mean, breakfast is optional when you stay, but I've been there and it's a really magnificent traditional full English breakfast I had. You can also have vegetarian, continental. There's vegan and gluten-free. What would you plump for?
Oh, I think I would go for the traditional full English breakfast because I've heard such amazing things about it.
Now, we know the owners personally and they're really lovely people. So, Matt, where do you have to go to find out more information?
Go to the website www.littleorchardglastonbury.co.uk.
So that's littleorchardglastonbury.co.uk. And you can book directly there or find the phone number and give them a ring.
Enjoy your stay.
Cops is on stage.
I'm sure there are pockets around the country like this. I mean, I grew up in an area with lots of good dance, which I'll maybe talk about in just a second. But Matty, what's your dance background, would you say? You're quite the mover.
I was a professionally trained dancer.
Is this news to you, Matty? What? Matt, sorry?
You knew this.
When?
What? You knew this. So I trained in street dance and hip-hop for about 7 years, and I was part of a few dance groups and dance troupes and things like that, and I used to dance quite a lot. And obviously when I used to do some of the semi-professional shows, it was quite big dance routines and a lot of the ones on rollerblades and things like that, but it was mainly a lot like street dance. I did a bit of ballet as well, but then as I made the big mistake of just stopping. I just stopped one day, put on loads of pounds, and I never had the inspiration really to go back and dance again until I started joining some societies and things and very slowly started getting into it. So I'm nowhere near the mover that I used to be, but
it's definitely a useful skill to have. Yeah, it's definitely a useful skill to have.
I mean, we've seen you in the panthers with you kind of popping and locking, and you did the what's it called? The worm?
The worm.
You know, we were all a bit sort of, oh my God, he's going to kill somebody.
I remember that because it was, what was it? We were doing Jack and the Beanstalk. Our choreographer at the time was Anna. And obviously, throughout the entire process, for the entire rehearsals, up until the tech rehearsal, she had not seen me do that little dance routine where I do a little bit of the pop and locking and worming and things. And she ran up to me afterwards and went, "You can dance! I had no idea you could dance!"
Yeah, it's amazing when you don't do it too often. I mean, I've had people come to me and say, "Matt, you can actually dance all right, can't you?" It's like, okay.
It's weird though, isn't it? Because I think sometimes in musical theatre, when you're auditioning for different people to do different things, people always seem to take the singing auditions the most seriously. It feels like whoever can sing a part will get the role quite often. And sometimes I think, well, yes, obviously singing is really important, but actually what you look like when you're dancing, I think, is almost more important, because it's so obvious on stage. If you've ever watched a show where there's people in it that just can't dance or haven't bothered to learn the dance, or you know what I mean? That to me is really, really, it's an obvious flaw.
Yeah.
So I feel like the dance actually is a really important part of the show, because it's the thing that people actually are looking at for most of the show, and you've really got to get it right, haven't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I also say, especially from Sarah's point of view, you understand this as well. When you really know the dance properly, you enjoy it a billion times more.
Yeah,
you have so much fun. when you don't know the dance properly, it just becomes stressful and worrying. Whereas if you put that time in and really learn the dance, it becomes one of the most fun parts of the show.
Dancing dancing on stage with a group of your friends, there's just nothing better. I don't think. I just think it's that I'm at my happiest when I'm doing that, and I feel like everybody should have the opportunity to do it.
It was definitely my in to the world. I grew up, I mean, I did sort of ballet and tap when I was quite young. I can't remember the reasons why I ended up doing that, but I did that, and I got into shows in my area. It was quite a sort of, well, another good area for dance. Yeah. And we had this situation where all the dance schools in the town all fed into this group of dancers. So it was the best of those dance schools, and they did the big production at the theatre. And I got into that, probably not because I was a good dancer, because I was a boy. It was the thing, because there were precious few boys doing the dances. So I got the chance to do that. And that was on that big stage in front of a lot of people. And that was a lot of the shows I did as a kid. So I didn't like you, I didn't even go that far with the actual lessons and stuff. And I sort of wish I did, but it was that sort of football and, you know, do I do that? And it's hard to fit it all in. Yeah, so I have that background as well. So I picked up a few things. I'm okay at dancing. I mean,
You're not okay at dancing. You're better than that. Come on. When we did Guys and Dolls, and you and the five other guys did the crapshooters dance,
that was fantastic.
I was really jealous.
That was really jealous. Was good fun.
Yeah, that was really great.
You know, because it was. It was incredible. And I think the audience really, really appreciated it.
It was one of those moments, wasn't it, that we had a bunch of guys doing this dance. And it took a lot of rehearsing, but it turned out okay. And it was that perception thing, wasn't it? And people weren't expecting to see this bunch of guys do that sort of dance at their local amateur show, I think. So that's stood out in that show. I certainly enjoyed it. I was knackered, but I enjoyed it.
I do remember that immediately after the six of you were sort of like on the side of the stage.
That's how dancers in shows feel all the time.
Yeah. and I must say, I mean, I'm at that stage now where I'm less inclined to do you need me in this dance? You don't. Oh, good. I'll save the energy.
I'm the total opposite. I'm like, right, can I shoehorn myself into this dance? Yes, amazing, great. Thanks.
I mean, it's a shame to sort of feel like that, but I mean, it is becoming hard. You know, if you've got lines to learn and songs to learn, remember the dance moves as well. It's just another thing,
especially when you have to do all kind of three at once. I would never consider myself to be a dancer, but I mean, I remember going to a kind of ballet class, not for very long, when I was really, really young. I probably was only about six. And it was kind of music and movement type thing. And it was for boys, but there was only me and two other boys. And then the dance teacher, and he was really scary. So I don't think I went for very long.
No.
And then I have absolutely no other dance experience apart from lots of years of clubbing.
Fabulous. That's just what you want.
Oh, absolutely. You know, stick some dance music on and, yeah, I'm on the floor and I'm there for most of the night. And that's what we used to do. I initially will always freak out. Yeah. When it's like, we've got to do the dance. And I remember we didn't have to dance really in... I didn't have to dance really in Guys and Dolls. And then when we did Copa, it was a lot more dancing than I think I've ever done before.
Cops is on stage.
Part of the problems with what you were saying, and we have got a lot of good dancers in this area. Part of the problem is they're so busy with all their dance, doing their exams, doing their dance show stuff. They can't always come along and be in our shows.
Yes, I think that is something that has actually got harder over the years. I know when I started, I think my first proper show at Strode was when I was 15, so that's 20 years ago now. We didn't really have that problem. There were two shows a year, so there was one in March and one in October, and then there was the Panto. But other than that, there wasn't really anything else to do. And I agree with you that the more that has kind of been piled on, the more societies that we've now got using the theatre, and the more, you know, dance schools that use it. I mean, it's not a bad thing, is it? Because it's just giving lots of different people opportunities to be on the stage, but sometimes you do fight a little bit for to have people in your cast, I guess, don't you? Whereas we didn't necessarily used to have that problem.
Well, let's move on to some other areas, Sarah. Producing shows. You've done quite a few productions where you've been in charge of the purse strings and what's going on. And I've been a director while you've produced with me, haven't I? So what are the challenges of producing, would you say?
Reining in directors who don't listen.
I think I was always quite amenable.
Challenge number one, trying to get directors to write and stick to rehearsal schedules. Challenge number two.
All the boring stuff, guys. All the boring stuff.
What are the challenges about being a producer? Well, I produced the panto. I've produced other things in other areas. I produce lots of the school shows at schools I've worked at as well. But the panto has been the biggest thing I've produced. And actually, the challenges are things like, because we've got loads of children in it, it's quite often to do with logistics of children, sorting out parent helpers, working out which dressing rooms the children have got to be in and how to split people between dressing rooms, and what time can we have the children on rehearsals, and what time have they got to go home, and how many performances can they do, and when do they have to have their break. And it's that was always the thing I found most challenging, was working.
Also, I've got ever tighter as the years go by.
Yeah, and it's the rules seem to get harder and harder, and they seem to crack down more and more on who was allowed to be chaperones and what you had to do to be a chaperone. And I always sort of got the impression that more than make it, I know that the whole thing was about keeping the children safe, but there's a very fine balance, I think, between that and just putting people off wanting to help. And I think in the end, as we lost quite a lot of what would have been willing helpers. And I mean, the shows never suffered for it, but that was always, I always found that quite challenging.
Well, the problem was the rules were written for children going into
professional
stuff. So, so when they say, oh, they can only do this many performances in a week, they're not taking into account that, well, they only need to do one more performance and then the week is done.
Yeah.
And go back and it's in school holidays and it's fine. And it doesn't seem to be that in between, you know, that is the stressful side of things, isn't it? And basically as a producer, you get the problems, don't you, really?
You do. You do get all the problems as producer. I don't mind that so much because I quite, not that I like people giving me their problems, but I quite like problem solving. I think I'm quite good at that. So, you know, every so often you get a parent on the phone that's not very happy about this, that and the other. And that wasn't ever very nice, but I always felt like I was able to solve issues as we went along like that. Similar sort of thing where you have to, as a producer, you kind of have to negotiate between director and committee. And that can be quite difficult if the director wants something, but, you know, the money isn't either in the budget or it wasn't what was initially agreed. That can be quite tough sometimes, especially as I was at the time the chair of the committee and then, you know, very good friends with the director. So that was always quite a difficult position to be in. I definitely didn't always do the best job of that, but I felt like I always did the best I could do in the circumstance.
I think you did it. From my experience, you did an excellent job. And it's impossible to do everything correctly all the time. That's what people, you know, find it hard to appreciate when they just turn up and do the rehearsal and then do the show and have fun. And that's great. And that's what we do it for, isn't it, really? And you do that sort of thing so people can enjoy themselves. But it is.
Yes, I think, if you're going to be on, if you're going to produce a show or be on a committee, you're doing it because you want to help the society to run well and you want to give the people within the society opportunities to perform shows that they like on stage. And you also have, you also accept that, you know, there are going to be problems that you're going to come up against, and you know, you might feel like sometimes you have to upset or disappoint people, but ultimately if you're producing or you're on committee, generally you're doing it because you want to help the society and you want to make things better. And hopefully people within the societies understand that.
I think they do deep down in their hearts they do.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, Matt, you were asked to be on committee, weren't you? What did you say? Matthew, have you got any aspirations to produce or direct, actually? I should ask you guys, every week we sort of mention things that I've directed. Do you guys want to direct?
I would love to have a go at directing. Producing, I don't think I'll be able to handle the stress level. Like the likes of what Sarah's done, I wouldn't be able to handle those stress levels.
You're not the most organised of people, are you?
No,
really?
See, Sarah's very good at, like, she said, problem solving. Someone comes to me with a problem, I'll be like, sure, problem. No, don't want problems. No. So that's what I'd be like. Directing, I'd like to have a go, but I don't know if I'd be ever good at that. I'd like prefer being on the stage and being directed than directing.
Mm. I could never be a director. I just couldn't. I couldn't do that at all. I haven't got the vision. I'm right with problems, but.
I directed at the time when I was actually also a teacher. So I was told that I had directed it really well. I was really, really picky. Because I had been in the show and it was something that I'd suggested, and I was asked then, well, you've done the show, would you direct it? So I did, but it wasn't without its problems. It was the Farndale Avenue Townswomen's Guild Dramatic Society production of Macbeth. So yes, it was.
it was cursed,
yes.
Yeah.
So Sarah, let's ask you a couple of other questions. So, give us a disaster on stage. You've had a few, haven't you?
I certainly have. But
I know a disaster that you were there for, not necessarily involved with, but we were all involved with it.
Right.
When we were doing the charity show, we were doing Masquerade.
Oh my God! Yeah, that was pretty bad, actually, wasn't it? That was more lyric. That was more lyrics, though. And no, wasn't it that somebody at the front did something wrong, and we all copied or something?
No, there was that the first, because we did it twice in the same day. In the afternoon show, we forgot the words and moved in the wrong direction, and then the evening's performance was going really, really well. And remember, there was me, you, and I think another maybe four or five people moved to the front to do the
solo lines. Uh-huh.
Yes. And Laura's mic pack fell off, and there was what a night, what a clonk. And I think we all kind of looked at each other, someone forgot their lines.
Yeah, we did have a few mishaps.
Everyone struggled with the lyrics, didn't they?
The lyrics were just too difficult to learn.
It was so hard.
It was just one of those moments that every so often you get a lyric, you think, and you just sort of fade out of it, don't you? And you let everyone else carry on, and it's fine.
Yeah.
But on the afternoon of that show, everyone did that at exactly the same time.
Yeah, everyone made the same mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Whole line.
It was awful.
I'm usually pretty good at remembering words, but I really struggled. And in the afternoon,
it was almost an impossible task to learn that song in the amount of time that we had, unfortunately.
And that's sort of like some drop and everyone stops singing at the same time. I've never felt that on stage. I've done that before, and we practiced.
We did. And the thing is, also, well, the fact that we're called Corpses on Stage, well, that's probably the most I've ever corpsed on stage. Like, at that moment where everything went wrong, it wasn't, at that point, this sounds really bad from my point of view, but I didn't panic and went, oh my God, I just burst into laughter. And I was looking around.
Really?
Everyone was looking at each other. And I was just going, this is, and I was trying so hard.
Everybody else, all the other acts in that show were fantastic. I mean, we did do another song that was.
Our other song went really well, both times we did it, though, didn't it?
Corpses on Stage.
When I was in Thoroughly Modern Millie, so when I'm a dancer in a show, which I was in that show, I don't really like wearing a mic pack because you're trying to focus on the dance and you're not really focusing on the singing. And if you are going full out in a show like Thoroughly Modern Millie, there's quite a lot of dancing involved. Wearing a mic pack is quite stressful anyway. We didn't have enough money for all of us to have mic pack holders. So my mic pack was just shoved down my pants and my tights. And halfway through one of the numbers, it came loose. It swung like a pendulum in between my legs, flicked off, flew in the orchestra pit and nearly knocked out the violinist that it nearly hit.
Yeah. I was gonna say, surely the mic holders are relatively cheap in comparison to the actual mic packs
themselves.
Yeah,
well, I think that was with Stroh Productions, and I'm sure that when we did the Glastonbury and Street show after that, I think somebody made a load because of that exact issue. And I haven't ever had that problem since, luckily. But my other disaster was wig related. So Jesus Christ Superstar, which I know you've talked about on here before. So the dancers in that show, we had our changes were so fast and so numerous that we actually had our own dressing room in the dock. And right at the end of the number, when Matthew comes back and sings Superstar, we had to get changed. And I don't just mean get changed, but I mean change everything, including tights, boots. We had knee-high boots in that number, costume. We also had to change our wig. And we had these black bob wigs, and somehow in the kerfuffle, I managed to put my black bob wig on backwards. So I walked out on stage with my face completely covered by hair, and then like a little fringe at the back of my head.
And of course, where Sia got it from.
Beautiful. And of course, it wasn't secured properly because it wasn't on the right way. So halfway through the number, I just ripped the wig off and chucked it into the wings and carried on. God knows what I must have looked like. So basically, I'm stood on one side of the stage looking like something the cat's just dragged in. And my opposite number is Harriet, who always looks absolutely beautiful and fabulous. And that is probably the most embarrassed I have ever felt on stage. I
think you're being hard on yourself.
I looked pretty bad.
I didn't know about that. I was at the front. Posing away.
Well, you were posing away in front of us, probably.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Matty, I'm going to pass over to you to ask Sarah the key question this week.
The key question.
The key question.
There's someone we're always going to ask. Of course, the big question, Sarah, is: have you ever played an animal?
Yes, I have actually. I have played an animal.
Yay. Tell
in
us.
The very first pantomime I was ever in, I think I was 6 years old, and it was Ashgot Panto. I was in Babes in the Wood and I was a robin.
There we go.
Okay, Sarah, so we've covered quite a lot so far, haven't we? We've covered dancing, we've covered producing, being in shows, disasters, whether you're an animal or not. Yes. Do you have any pet peeves in the theatre? I mean, you've done so many areas. Well, what's the sort of thing that you find frustrating the most?
Oh, Matthew, you're not one of these, but I've worked with other directors in the past who insist on calling all cast for all rehearsals. And then a lot of the time people just sit there and they're not used until maybe 9:30 at night, and you just
think,
why have you not got yourself organized? That really drives me mad.
It happens. I mean, scheduling is one of the worst things going, because as soon as you make a schedule of some kind, someone can't come and it just throws it all out the window. So when people do speak to me about schedules and stuff, it's always the worst thing, because you can be as organised as you like on paper, but then the day of the rehearsal, it just goes, out the window, really. I agree. Yeah, people like to know. People do like to know what they're doing if they're needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if you're not needed, what are you going to do? You're going to chat at the back and then get told off for talking. And also,
that's the thing, isn't it?
People off that are trying to concentrate. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the thing, isn't it? Is it just creates a bad feeling within the room because people are annoyed and then they start talking and then they get shouted at because they're talking and but they're not really needed. And that annoys me. I do also get a little bit annoyed somebody running the rehearsal that can't quite remember what they've done, how they've set something in the rehearsal before. And then you get to the next rehearsal and it's ever so slightly different than it was last week, and you've learnt it one way and then it's suddenly altered.
I think that's why, I know what you're saying, and I think that's why things have been slightly different over the last year or so, that once a number is done and it's the night that it's set, it's videoed. So I think that's been really helpful.
Yeah. But no, that is much more helpful now.
And then still getting it wrong.
But that's the thing. I found that quite annoying sometimes, is when I come in and there's a dance that I haven't done at all and I'm really confused and they're going, well, we put it on Facebook. I can't just stand in front of my screen. I need to be with everyone else.
No, I mean, however you do it, always brings some kind of problem, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're never going to please everybody, are you, in a rehearsal?
I mean that brings to mind, sort of, as a director, not a choreographer, but I'm sure a choreographer feels the same. You do something and then you want to change it because you don't want to keep you.
Oh, point. Yeah, no, I think that is
I learned it like this. I'm adapting.
I think that's a completely different issue. I've done that. I've set things. I can remember setting something in Evita and I knew it would look good, but I couldn't get I couldn't get the cast on board to do it like seriously because it was a bit weird. And so every time we did it, I said, look, you've just got to go for it because I know it's going to look brilliant if you do it. But I couldn't get them. I just couldn't get them on board. So in the end, I just said, right, we're not doing that anymore. We're going to do this instead. So I think having the ability and the foresight to change things that isn't working is fine.
Cops is on stage.
So, Sarah, something we like to ask our guests is a bucket list show.
Yes. So sadly, I was that close to choreographing one of the shows that I've always wanted to choreograph, which was Chicago, and it got cancelled because of COVID.
Oh, no.
So unfortunately, it looks very unlikely that that will happen. But also having recently, I don't know why I'm so late to this party, but having recently watched Hamilton, I'm absolutely obsessed with it and I would die to be in that show. I don't want to choreograph that one. I want to be in it. So I just like shows where you can dance. Hamilton is a hell of a dance show if you've got the right choreographer behind you.
No, I'm maybe a bit behind of what it's like because I've only watched clips of it. And
so listen, the way in which the professional one is done, which I guess is the only one at the moment because it's not released for amateurs, is the dances are kind of the scenery. So the dance style is contemporary. I wouldn't say that it's like a hip-hop show. The dance doesn't come across to me as particularly hip-hop, but it's just one of the cleverest dance shows I've ever seen because of the way that they use the dancers to tell the story and do the scene changes, and it's fantastic. But it's just a historical piece of theatre, but it's been done in a way that is incredibly like revolutionary really for musical theatre. I think it's the most exciting show I've seen for years.
I'd agree with
I'd
that.
I'd really recommend watching it if you haven't.
So would you say that that's your favourite type of show when you're watching a show or being a dancer?
Yeah, so I think I come at dance from a really odd perspective because I actually don't particularly like dance shows. So I've been in shows which you would consider to be big dance shows like 42nd Street, and I'm just not excited by that because it's 42nd Street, you do it like this, it's a tap show, I'm a bit not bothered about that. But shows like Hamilton, so I choreographed Evita, which is probably my favourite show that I've ever choreographed. And the reason is, it's not a standard dance show, so you have to then make it into a dance show and you have to do something with it. So for example, the funeral scene at the beginning of Evita, I turned that into an Argentine tango. So what is traditionally done is just people stood on stage with candles singing. Me and the director for that show decided we're actually going to make that into a dance number, and we made it into something really quite special. And that's what excites me about dancing on stage, is taking something unusual and turning it into a dance phenomena, which I think is what Hamilton has done.
Yeah, and then and thereby in the amateur world also you're bringing the company in to do more stuff as well, aren't you, Reed?
Yes, exactly, getting the company involved and then again raising the aspirations of the company. So saying to them, right, we're going to do something different and unique with this, and I want you to have a go at this style of dance. So, you know, when I walked into Evita and told everyone, right, you're going to be doing Argentine tango, Viennese waltz and straight tango in this show, and all of you are going to do it, I think they looked at me as if I was completely bonkers. But come the end of it, loads of them were saying, this is the best dance show we've ever been involved in because we did something different with it. And I think people like that challenge.
They do like their challenge. Conversely, but it's funny how people come to a show and want to be part of it and then moan about everything they've got to do in it.
Very true.
Yeah. I think the nicer you are to people, though, the less they'll moan at you.
No, that's true. And once they get into it, they're absolutely fine, aren't they? But
yeah.
I would love to know, have you ever corpsed on stage?
Of course. Good question.
I'm so pleased you asked me that. And I am so thrilled that my corpse on stage hasn't come up yet, because I was sure that somebody else would have brought this one up before me. So when we did the panto, I think it was Sleeping Beauty.
It was Sleeping Beauty, if it's the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
The very, very last scene in Sleeping Beauty was Cherry, who was playing
Carabosse.
She had to say sorry. But she couldn't quite get out the word sorry. So the line in the panto that Cherry had to say was, she had to say, I'm and then different characters, Matthew, I think you were one of them, had to say a different comedy word starting with the letter S. And on the very, very last night, Joe Chester, God love him for having the balls to do this, said slightly moist. And the entire theatre took like a deep breath as if to say, I cannot believe that somebody has just said slightly moist on stage. And then the whole theatre, including everybody on stage, just absolutely died laughing.
I mean, it was a simultaneous, spontaneous corpse, yeah, from everyone, wasn't it, really?
It was like a moment of silence where people were thinking, oh, did that just happen? And then everybody just completely died. I mean, that's GNS legend. I can't believe it hasn't come up before.
I was a baddie this year and I called my leading lady a moist muffin this year.
Yes.
And the night we came.
I don't know, it might have been. Yeah,
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was. Moist in there for you. So yeah. Definitely a word of many, many uses.
It was a great experience to be part of. So I've definitely corpsed on stage a couple of times.
Good. Nice. Well, that's part of the fun.
That is.
And why indeed we named our podcast
Corpses on Stage.
Yes. So anyway, Sarah, it's been lovely to have you along this evening, especially someone that's so expert in so many different areas. We could have got 3 podcasts out of you, really.
Indeed, we could.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we would love to hear some of your stories. If you are a member of our Corpses on Stage Facebook page, then please make sure you drop us a message. Either leave a comment in our most recent episode or send us a private message. We would love to hear any of your stories, especially any of your corpsing on stage.
Yeah, thanks, Matthew. Right, so Sarah, we're going to say goodbye now. So thanks very much again for coming on. So
thanks for having me.
You.
And I do have one final bone to pick with you, which is that your theme tune for this podcast is in my head and will not get out of my head.
It's such an earworm.
That's what happens when you binge it.
I haven't stopped singing it all weekend.
Well, we've had it for weeks and weeks and weeks. Anyway, yeah, it's been great to have you on. So we'll say goodbye now. So
goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
Bye from me.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next time, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Corpse is on stage. Corpse is on stage. You mustn't make me laugh because there'll be corpses on stage. Corpse is on stage. Corpse is on stage. You shouldn't make me laugh because there'll be corpses on stage.
Slightly moist.
Slightly moist.
Moist muffin.
Moist.